I may not be where I was supposed to be, but I am where I am supposed to be, but I'm not supposed to be here. It's the news according to me. Well, good morning. It is 9:23 Eastern Standard Time. I am in the Eastern Standard Time time zone. I'm not exactly sure where I'm supposed to be. I was potentially last night going to end up in Pensacola, Florida. I thought I might end up have to end up in Miami yesterday, and lots of things ended up happening. I actually went through Miami yesterday, and I thought I was going to end up being in Miami overnight. Some crazy things happening with repositioning everything and whatever the hell was going on. And then I thought I was going to end up in Pensacola, Florida by the end of the whole. And then, of course, by that point, I still ended up in Greensboro, North Carolina, which is where I originally was supposed to be. However, my whole day has changed. I now have to travel out through Miami to get back to Chicago so that I can go to White Plains. It is a crazy day. It will start about 11 o'clock this morning, and it will go to until about, I'd say midnight tonight, I think is what about what it's going to do. So we'll see how that all works out. I'm not sure it's going to work out so well, but we'll see how it works. In the meantime, folks, I have, it is, by the way, it is Monday, February 9th, 2026, and I'm here with your news, according to me. We'll see how this thing works. Again, we're beta testing this whole thing with the little app that I'm building for podcasters, and it's we're going to see how this works out. Actually, I need to actually start the app. I guess that would probably be a good place to start. And well, that's interesting. I guess I can't use this with my. It does not work. I'm going to have to figure out the routing on this thing because I cannot actually do this from the. Huh, I wonder if I can run this from my iPad and run the callers in from my iPad. It's because I don't have my Rodecaster with me. On the road like this, I do not have my normal system that I have at home. I just run everything off my laptop. Now I could plug in an external microphone. I have a better microphone I can plug in. But apparently we're going to be without the process here this morning, without the fun of having the callers. I'm going to have to figure that part of it out. Work on that sometime later. But there's a few things I want to talk about this morning. Of course, Mondays are kind of a mishmash of everything that's going on over the weekend, everything that's kind of happened over the weekend. I guess there was a skier. I can't even think of her name right now. I was up until about 3 o'clock in the morning this morning, so it's been kind of a short night. But there was a skier that apparently crashed in the Olympic Games, and apparently she had torn her ACL, I think, is what happened to her earlier, and she decided to do the race anyway, and then she injured herself even worse. Got airlifted off of the mountain, went to the hospital. Prayers are with her. I hope everything goes well with that. Probably, chances are going to be kind of the end of her downhill career, unless she can, you know, get some good therapy and get thing. I don't know what kind of damage she had or what kind of accident or how bad the injuries were that she had. Hopefully she's has a full recovery and she's able to compete again. But I, you know, people in that kind of a category for competing in that level typically have to have extremely peak performance of everything. If there's any kind of injuries, it starts to impede. However, but people do overcome that. So let's hope that she does that. And first of all, that she's completely healed and that she's able to get back to competing if that's what she wants to do, and that she's able to have a happy, fulfilled life at that point. I have in my cup this morning, I have some Big Train chai with some regular original flavor, whatever that means. I think it just means it's old. It's just leftover cans. They had this Coca creamer standing around back when they first started making creamer. This from 1624. The year 1624. Not in my backup thermos here. I have some homemade sweet tea, and it's almost on the edge of going funky. I think it's. partially because I don't, I'm not able to always keep it in a refrigerator. The thermos has a ten, you know, it sits in the thermos for 10 hours. It's just, it's going to get warm, and that's when it kind of starts to get a little funky. But there's a Chick-fil-A in my future today. Either that's a rhyming thing. I think I probably should write a song about that. And actually, there's some interesting stuff going on with AI, and I'm playing with a lot of it. I'm trying to figure out how I can, you know, incorporate it both into the show as well as into some other things and creative stuff in my life. And so I'm trying to work on some of that. It's going to be kind of interesting to see where that all leads. But in the meantime, I think I'm going to start creating some fun things for the show, some little ditties like what I used to do that before. I had Rabbi Rick on the show before, and probably going to do that again. I talked to Rabbi Rick recently, last Friday, and he was interested in coming on the show again. So we may be able to do that, maybe once a week or something like that, have a Rabbi Rick moment on one of the shows. That'll probably be random just because my schedule is so random. I never know when I'm going to be home. Most likely Thursdays will probably be the best time for that. I don't know how if that's going to work out or not, but we'll see how it goes. We might record it on another day and just have him, we might just play the recording of him on the show once in a while. So we'll see how that goes. We might just have a Rabbi Rick segment. We just play like a pre-recorded thing we play during the show. Anyway, so we can't have fun with the AI thing today, as I always like to call it, fun with AI, where we have these callers call in, and they're AI callers. They call in, and we can kind of cue certain questions, and they make certain comments, and then it goes into this internet scouring thing where it uses the internet to basically reply and respond to questions that you know, the topics at hand, and it actually reads the comments that I make. But unfortunately, the microphone, if I give it the microphone to be able to listen to me during this time, it actually takes the microphone away from my recording hardware here, so I can't do that. There are other options I can use to make that happen. I can use a separate recording device, which I think is what I'm going to have to do initially here, so I can use my laptop as the other device. So we'll see how that goes. I've got other options. I got tools. I have a set of skills, and a set of tools. I can find you, and I will find you. Anyway, I'll find a way to make it happen. So apparently, Harry Sisson, he was on some kind of YouTube show or something. I don't know what it was, a podcast, whatever he was on. There's like this panel, and Michael Knowles was on there. And Michael Knowles just loves to just slice and dice Harry Sisson. I can't believe Harry keeps coming back for more. But this is the kind of deluded world we live in. These people kind of think that they're the center of their universe, and if they say it, it is so. And it amazes me how ridiculous they can be sometimes. Harry Sisson is this guy who tries to come across, he's actually an older kid now. He's in his 20s. He tries to come across like he's some kind of teenage hipster. He wears makeup. Okay, he rosies his cheeks. He uses blush on his cheeks. He obviously puts something on his eyes. He does some stuff. It's just to make himself look younger and make himself look like this little white boy that's, you know, kind of like a little Dutch kid. I don't know. It's kind of this weird. It's weird. It's just weird. Now he in the middle of this discussion that they're having. Of course, you can't ever debate with a radical leftist because they just, the goalposts always change. They always change the topic. They always run from one thing to the next. You can't pin them down on a particular, if they feel like they're losing on a particular subject, they just slither out of that one right into something else, and they bring up something else. Well, what about this? What about that? Well, what? They can't stay on a topic and just drill down on it and make it a point. That's it. So this is, and Michael Knowles exposes this very well when he debates leftists like this. Harry Sisson is a paid hack by the DNC. He gets paid by Act Blue. He on his own, he would never be able to support his own website, his own channel on YouTube. He's getting support from major big companies, which of course the money flows from the top down, from all these, you know, all the things that we hear about, all the fraud, all the NGOs, all the stuff, all the places where our monies are going, and a lot of it is foreign money. So it's just ridiculous, but it flows around and it trickles down into Harry's pocket. Now, he was on this show and they're going at it and they're talking about, you know, Trump, and he starts going this whole thing about Biden. And he doubles down on this comment, which should discredit him completely from this at this moment. You know, he's a complete hack. And what he says, and I wish I had a recording of it right now, but what he says is, Joe Biden was one of the most efficient and effective presidents this country, our nation, has ever had. He's basically, you know, his face should be on Rushmore, basically, is what he's saying. I don't understand how you can say something like that and get away with it when all of the news media, even Jake Tapper now, is talking about how, oh, I didn't know about his diminishing situation. I didn't know about all this stuff. And we tried to tell you. People tried to tell you. You basically eviscerated Laura Trump on your show for suggesting that he was diminishing in his capabilities, and of course belittled her and said, oh, you're not a doctor, you don't know anything about that. And then, oh, after the election, oh, I didn't realize this. Oh, I better write a book about it. It just blows my mind that we are to this point in this. And of course, then Harry Sisson comes along and still says something as ridiculous as, well, Joe Biden was the most efficient, productive president we've ever had in our nation. And 2020 was the most secure, perfect election we've ever had as well. And it just, the whole thing, it just starts to fall apart piece by piece as they continue to talk like they do. And just, I'm amazed that they get away with this kind of stuff, but they do. They go back to their followers, and their followers are, if they're actual, have actual real followers. It blows my mind. Now there's this other, speaking of YouTubers, there's this other little girl. I don't know how old she is. She's not very old. She's got to be maybe in her teens. Early 20s. Looks pretty young, but she's got one of those faces that's kind of hard to tell. She's some kind of a gamer, I guess, of some kind or something. She don't know what she does. And she was on, I guess people were asking her questions about, you know, what was her stance on ICE, which was, you know, the Immigration Customs Enforcement. And she said, I don't really get into politics. And she doesn't, her show, she doesn't talk about politics on her show. So I'm not really, I don't know that much about politics. I don't want to get into it. I don't want to say anything about it. So now she's being eviscerated by the left because she just won't come out and say something ICE, F ICE, basically. She won't come out and say it. And this, again, this is, that's fascism. Fascism is when you force someone to say something or you will be belittled and you will be diminished and basically democratized or de-democratized. You will be an outcast. You will be a black sheep because you don't lockstep follow along with the statements that you're supposed to make as a good leftist. She's just a kid, and she just doesn't want to get involved in the politics of it. She doesn't understand. She doesn't know what's going on. So apparently, the left now thinks that you have to just. How hard is it to say that? You can just say it. Well, it's not hard to say it. That's the whole point. She didn't want to say anything because she wasn't informed. She didn't, and yet you want her to say something uninformed, because you want the viewers to be gaslit into this whole thing and just go down this road. That's the whole point. That's really their point in this whole thing, which I just find to be ridiculous. But that's the whole point, is they have to be on the same page. They have to be in the same vein. And the hypocrisy, the self-righteousness is ridiculous. Speaking of self-righteousness, my wife sent me a post the other day. Apparently I was raised a Mennonite. I ended up, being a licensed as a lay minister in the Church of the Brethren, which is another Anabaptist part of the equation. This is back when I was very young. I grew up in a Mennonite church, a regular Mennonite church, and then we didn't have, you know, horse and buggies. It wasn't Amish. And we had cars. We had all the whole thing. It was normal people just living. You know, we were Mennonites. And as I grew up, and then of course, as I got in my high school years, I ended up attending a Church of the Brethren, which is very similar, and ended up becoming a licensed lay minister as a youth pastor, basically in the church that I was attending. I went off to Bible college and started learning about what the Bible actually said. I knew what the Bible said. I'd read it, but I had this interpretation that I'd been kind of forced to be under because of the kind of the stuff I was under. And it was never very political. The things weren't very political in the church that I... Now, the Church of the Brethren was very political, so at least in the head department, the national headquarters, they were very political there. Had very, very strong opinions about things. They would protest certain things. Very big on some of that. There was this group, there was kind of a group of, you know, 60s kind of hippie types that had kind of taken over the church and found themselves to be more activists than they were evangelists. Because that's one of the fivefold ministries, apparently. You know, pastors, apostles, teachers, preachers, activists. I guess that's part of the whole thing. So the other day, my wife sent me this clip of a group of Mennonites. I didn't see any of them were actually under the age of 60. There might have been some there, but it was sure hard to find them. They all looked like they were pretty old to me, older than me, and I'm old. So they're all standing out there, and they're trying to sing something, and they're saying something, and I'm not sure exactly what they're trying to get at. And they're protesting outside of a Target because Target's stance. Maybe because Target didn't take a big enough stance against ICE or something. I don't know. But it was all about the whole thing of forcing someone else to have a political belief because you're out there protesting. Target doesn't affect legislation. Again, this is like protesting at someone outside someone's house. Unless it's the White House, who is the person who has the power to make these changes. I just don't get this. And I look at this and it's embarrassing to me. But it is the very reason why I left the Mennonite. I like the Mennonite doctrine. I like the basics of the confession of faith and the whole reason the Anabaptist movement started, because it was basically a protest, or if you will, it was during the time of Martin Luther, when he posted his thesis on the door and did all this stuff, and everything was going on there with his rebellion, if you want to call it that, his going against the Catholic Church. The Anabaptists were actually slaughtered for their beliefs. They basically did not believe that babies could be saved. They didn't believe in christening. The main theological difference. It had nothing to do with war or anything else. They were peaceable people at the time. Their main thing was not about war. Now it became that later on, war protesting. The main concern at the time, the reason the Catholic Church was killing them, is because they believed you had to have a confession of faith as an adult. You couldn't make a confession of faith as a baby being christened, and you weren't just Christian because you were christened. That was kind of their whole point. Of course, the Catholic Church was very strict at that time, and they would rain down upon you. They were basically fleeing Europe because of persecution from the Catholic Church. Now, my ancestors were trying to help someone flee to the United States. Back then, you didn't just pack up and run to the United States and expect the government wasn't here to take care of you. You had to come here knowing that you had the ability to survive and you were going to start over, and that you had some wherewithal to make a life for yourself here, because there were no freebies back in that day. You were on an adventure. You came here and you had to basically had what you had on your back, and that's what you traveled with. Now, my ancestors came here with even less, because they weren't really traveling with the intent to come here. They got on the boat to sleep overnight, and they found out they were out to sea the next day, and they were not planning on being out to sea. And they got sold into indentured servitude in order to pay for their journey. In other words, they got kidnapped and they were sold into slavery when they got here. But I don't, there's, you know, I'm not asking for reparations or anything. Don't get me wrong. But it blows my mind that they're out there in front of Target singing songs. And I guess first of all, my question is, what is the vision here? What is the effect that you're trying to have? You're trying to bring awareness maybe to the people who are attending, to going into Target, standing out there doing something. And I don't know that have you affected even one person's opinion, first of all? And have you affected anything that Target is doing? I doubt it. You need to have a better vision and a better plan of getting something done. How do you accomplish what you're trying to set out to do? What's the most effective thing? You know, all these people are going out there, taking time out of their lives to do whatever they're doing. Go spend time with your grandkids, you know, or maybe not. Maybe don't. I don't know. I just because now I'm concerned about how the effect that they're going to have on their grandkids. My grandpa had a huge effect on me with regard to the gospel. Very, very godly man. He had, you know, just the Bible was everywhere. They would read through the Bible several times a year, just around the breakfast table. There, you know, if you were there for breakfast, you were going to read some parts of the Bible. You were going to read it. And they would read through, and everybody at the table, they'd go around the table and everybody read a verse or a chapter, whatever it was. You would read something. And it was just, that's just the way it was. And, It was just interesting how they would work through the scriptures like that. Of course, then there was lots of prayer, lots of Bible activity going on. And even into his 90s, he was still filling. He would still teach and preach once in a while. There was a church in Florida that he would attend down there, and they would have him fill the pulpit occasionally. And it's just the kind of guy he was, and he had a huge impact on my life. Very, very strong effect that he had on my life. And so you appreciate those kinds of things. So I don't know. Hopefully they don't have that kind of effect on their kids, grandkids, just because they're not necessarily ungodly people. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that they had some wacko ideas. And I appreciate that there's people out there who care and are concerned about political issues, and they want to do something about it, and they're willing to go out and take a stand publicly and do those kinds of things. I get that. But I just don't, I think they need to reassess what they're doing there. I just, that's just my opinion. I'm not a doctor, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not a financial counselor, and I'm not a theological strategist, as they say. But I just, there you go. Next subject. Let's talk about, I guess this was the Super Bowl yesterday. I think it was yesterday, actually. That's how much I care about it. I don't even know who was playing. I was with a coworker yesterday. I had to work all day. And honestly, we didn't even bring up a subject other than just somebody was talking about the scores at one point that we walked past. And I was, I don't even think I've seen a clip. I might have saw. I think I was in a public area in an airport yesterday, and I happened to see the game playing on the television. And I looked over and saw it. And as I was kind of walking by, I didn't know what the score was. Didn't know what the teams were that were playing. I had no idea. All I remembered was, oh yeah, this is Super Bowl Sunday, and I get time and a half today because my company considers it a holiday, so it's. I actually get time and a half for working on, of course, and it turned into quite the ordeal yesterday, which I wouldn't have been paid anymore just because it went way well past the midnight hour. So it wouldn't have been time and a half for going past that. Anyway, so today, lots of things going on. Now, the other thing I want to talk about a little bit was what was the other issue? I was going to talk about another issue. I can't remember what it was. I think I had some stuff. I was listening to some things this morning that were kind of interesting. I know. I remember what it was. The Obamas apparently were on a video that everybody was all up in arms about this thing where the Obamas were on this video. Now, everybody was... They were all jungle creatures. They were all, you know, some things from, like, I think Trump was a lion or a tiger, and then we had the Obamas were guerrillas, and then they had a bunch of other stuff. And supposedly this is something that Trump posted. This is something that Trump posted, and everybody was going nuts about it. You can't let this go. You can't let this, you know, you can't let this slide because he's depicting them as monkeys, and this is terrible. And you know, I was kind of concerned about it when I first saw it. I was like, what is this about? Why is he doing this? Maybe this guy has lost his, you know, lost his way. That's not what happened. Found out through some research and things that were going on, that apparently whoever's in charge of his social media, and it may have even been him, I don't know, because he's, you know, he's older guy. He played a video of something else. I think it was like a reel. He played a screenshot of a reel or something. This has happened to me. And whoever created this thing, they were going through and they created these reels and they posted them on TikTok or whatever they put, or X or whatever, wherever they posted them. And they ended up, at the end of the video, it automatically scrolls to the next video. This has happened to me before. It scrolls to some stupid video and it'll be something totally that I don't like or I'm opposed to, or even vulgar sometimes. And it'll go to the next thing. And that's what happened. At the end of the video, as they were stopping their screen recording, it went to this other video. And it wasn't a video that wasn't the video he was trying to post. Now, I don't know whether he did it or someone of his social media people. My understanding is he pretty much does his own social media. He pretty much gets on his phone and does his own thing. However, I don't know. I'm not sure exactly how his whole system, or I don't know who else has access to his social media account. I'm pretty sure he's pretty much straight on it all the time. That was kind of one of his big things when he was in office the first time. Nobody liked it because he has these mean tweets. He tweets this stuff just on random times. You know. Well, yeah, but there you are. That's the guy. You're seeing a real person. You're not seeing a production, you know, that's run through a committee and somebody else's. I guarantee you, Joe Biden wasn't doing any tweeting. Somebody else was typing everything in for him. And he probably didn't even know half of what was going on with his social media accounts. He was just saying whatever, you know, he was just remark on whatever somebody told him to remark on. So that's what's happening. It's just ridiculousness. And it doesn't surprise me. I figured that I was going to be patient on making any comments on it until the truth came out, what was actually happening there. Now, should have it been cleaned up? Should have been cleaned up before it was taken out? Yeah, probably should have been. You know, somebody should have caught that and gotten it off there before it went out, just because you got the people on the left who are going to go nuts with that kind of stuff. Now, the left will not apologize. They will not say anything about it. They will be moving on to the next outrage. There will not be a, oh, I guess, okay, yeah, we were wrong about that. I guess, you know, he should have been cleaning it up. Just have a normal conversation about it. No. He left it in there on purpose, I'm sure. Because now finally, after 10 years of telling us he's a racist, they finally have proof that he's a racist because of what he did with the Obamas. And then it turns out that that's not really the case. And, oh, but he's still a racist, though. We'll find something eventually. And they'll probably keep bringing this up for a long time. And of course, it's completely debunked now, but they'll continue to bring it up. I guarantee you that, because that's just the way they are. And you know, it's good to have a debate, but it's also good to have an educated debate about some things like this, because you never know. You're just sipping the Kool-Aid and going on from there, and just having, you know, whatever anybody's telling you. That's just kind of the way it goes. But that's just the way people are. It's just, you know, kind of like the weather. We talk about the weather, but nobody wants to do anything about it, kind of thing. So, in speaking of which, the weather. What's going on with this weather? We have a real winter this year, and of course, we've been told that there would be no more winters. That the world was supposed to end before now. I think the last prediction that Al Gore made was that the polar ice caps will be completely gone by 2017 or 2016, somewhere around there. Everybody's, I think 12 years ago, AOC said the world's going to end in 12 years. Now, they will probably say, well, but it's because, you know, of greenhouse gas and, you know, kind of thing. But what they'll probably say is, well, we've cut down greenhouse gassing. That's why it's prolonged it now at this point, but we're still heading in the wrong direction. We still have to spend all this money on all this stuff that doesn't make any sense. The the carbon footprint to build a windmill, for example, in the course of its life, of course, they have to have oil. They have to have all kinds of things to make them run because they can't just run. The bearings have to be greased. Things have to be. But just in the process of getting the thing built and put up and transported and put where it is and having the lines run, the cables run, all the stuff that has to happen, it will never pay itself back in net zero carbon emissions. It will never work. It will never happen in its lifetime. And the blades have a shelf life, or not a shelf life, but a useful life. They can only be up there for so long. They can only flex so many times. They can only, stand up to the sun for so long. And they have to be replaced. And what are you going to do with that? All that waste. And then you have more oil and more, you're not going to use an electric crane to get the blades changed. You're going to have a diesel-powered, machine to get out there and do that whole thing. And that has to be transported out to the windmill farm. And, of course, because you're building them all at the same time, now you're going to have to go through and change all the blades at the same time because they're all out there at the same time. So now you have to go through systematically and change all the blades when their lifespan runs out or when they get don't pass an inspection or when they fly apart, which happens occasionally. Same thing with solar panels. I'm taking perfectly good farmland in some cases in my area. There's perfectly good farmland. They're basically covering acres upon acres, thousands of acres with solar panels. Who knows what that's going to do to the soil? You just can't do that. Soil kind of goes acidic after a while. The base components of, and it's perfectly good. In fact, there's a guy who has a very large farm in my county. Has basically leased all the land off to a solar farm, and they're coming and put all kinds of solar panels up. And that's the way it works. Anyway, looks like my time is up, I guess. My time is running near. So, folks, I'll be around tomorrow morning. I think I'm going to be in White Plains tomorrow morning. Have a normal show tomorrow. I'll try to fix up this whole idea with the whole thing with the app. I'll make that work. God bless, folks. Have a great rest of your day, and I will try to get back tomorrow with some more content. In the meantime, take care. Have a great rest of your day. I will see you tomorrow. And that's really all I have to say. See ya.